It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
And away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you here on this beautiful October weekend and finally starting to feel like fall. Of course, our thoughts and prayers with those folks to the east of us that took it on the chin from Hurricane Michael, Mexico Beach, and so many areas there, Panama City into Apalachicola, really devastated by that hurricane. But the silver lining for us on the backside of the storm, and it brings in the first cool air of the year.
The only silver lining is that we're getting cool air.
Yeah, that's
they are devastated down there.
Yeah, it's that's, you know, you start talking about a Category 4, what might end up being Category 5 Hurricane Michael. Just pray for those people and what they're dealing with down there. You know, we've talked about in hurricanes in the past just this year. You and I have, in a way, joked about some of the smaller storms we call grouper storms.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they're gonna wash some sand around, but gosh, they make for good scamp fishing, you know, good grouper fishing after it. Nothing like what happened. What had happened in the Florida Panhandle was serious. And I'm thinking about even anglers there. Number one, their homes. Number two, the boats, the scenes of the boats and dry storage and all that collapse. I mean, it just breaks your heart.
Yeah. You know, they can tell you where it's steering and where it's going to go. But what they cannot do so far is tell you how big a storm that's going to be. Because when it came out of when it was around Mexico and it was coming in the Gulf, they said, well, it's going to get up to a tropical storm and it may get into a very minimal hurricane.
They
were talking about.
They would be everybody but Dr. Bill Williams.
Yeah.
Because Dr. Bill said, well, the water temperatures are 85 or above and there's no shearing.
Yeah.
And he said, it could get very big. He said it just depends on how long it has to get. You know, you had the locomotive, right? You had a bunch of coal in the boiler for the locomotive.
Yeah.
That's the 85 degree water temperature. And the brake was off because there wasn't any shearing. And you saw it, that storm getting to, like I said, it may even with some rear view looking, Dr. Bill Williams, our staff meteorologist, saying they may end up making it a Category 5.
That's a monster.
Our prayers are with those folks. All right. I want to get into the show today. This is a real treat. I've been wanting to talk to Macklin Smith from HMS Marine Electronics. I think I bothered him one time, even down in Orange Beach at the wharf about this, because we talk about HMS Marine Electronics. We talk about Garmin. We talk about the technology. And I have between 1 and 600 questions for you, Macklin. So thanks for being here.
Thank you, Sean, for having me in. I really do appreciate it. Been looking forward to this.
And so have we. And I want to remind folks, too, there'll be some questions. Okay, there'll be a lot of questions answered here, and this show podcastable, so you can share it with your friends and say, you remember when you asked such and such? I got the answer for it. So, but before we get into details of everything in electronics, or as much as we can get to in a 1 hour show, how'd you get in this business?
I have always had an obsession with boats.
Yeah. Welcome to the club.
Yeah.
Don't we all?
Fortunate for the area we live in, we have a lot of the ability to go at our will.
Yeah.
Fishing. We got our first offshore boat when I was 16, and it was a 1985 Robalo 25, which, as you can imagine, even in 96, a lot of stuff didn't work then. So
right,
I was
right.
Always fixing something. We were having to jiggle wires,
yep,
mess with batteries, and it just progressed into a full-blown obsession, and I actually kind of figured out how to do a lot of it.
That's the best training too, right? I mean,
yeah.
You can go to schools for things, but having that real world experience of, holy cow, it's Friday night at 10:30 and we want to fish tomorrow.
Yeah.
Where does that wire lead to?
That has happened a lot more than you would ever imagine.
For all of us.
Me and all my buddies, we always do trips, big fishing trips and little fishing trips, and go to South Pass, stay at Port Eads, and my backpack full of tools and stays with us, and I usually end up breaking out at least twice.
See, but it is the necessity, the mother of invention. I mean, that has motivated people to figure out how to do things. But now, as the technology goes beyond bilge pumps into things like navigation, I go, I'm out. I know I've exceeded my usefulness, and that's really where we are. You get into this. You said, here's your motivation for getting into it. But when you did, I mean, at least from the outside looking in, the technology in marine electronics is just like the technology in our offices or cars or whatever. It's changing every day.
Yeah, I mean, there are more computers now than just your old standalone CRT, tube screen bottom machine or the paper charts before that.
Right, but they stayed that way for a long time, right?
They
stayed kind of – and then something changed.
Raymarine introduced the first digital fish finder in 2001.
Okay.
And that really jump-started the sounder market.
Okay.
It got everybody into the digital technology instead of the analog pings.
Okay, and give us terminology, too, as we talk about this. Sounder being, bottom machine?
Fish finder, sounder, bottom machine,
okay,
all the above. Whatever allows you to see under the boat, excluding the new side scan technology.
Okay, so
it's a side scan sonar. Instead of a sounder.
Okay, and we'll get to all that stuff first. I'm just trying to establish as we go through this terminology because we're learning from you here. Okay, so back in 2001, you said Raymarine.
And that just allowed more digital processing instead of the analog sounders. It was a more refined picture. You really could see targets a lot better with less clutter and see more definition.
Okay.
And then everybody else started piling on that. Improving, you know, competition's the best innovation.
Yes, it is.
And Raymarine did a really good job with it. Furuno jumped on there, improving, and they've always held the lion's share of the market, especially with the commercial industry and the charter captains.
Right.
They were the most reliable and the biggest. And then finally, in about 2000,
get you a little closer to the mic.
Garmin really took off, and they came in from being a smaller company. You know, they had everything else with aviation and hiking and everything.
Right, right.
And they really ramped up their fish finders technology and their multi-touch displays and started acquiring a lot of different companies. And now they really are just kicking it.
Yeah.
With everybody. I mean, they have, in my opinion, Garmin's almost 100% of my business. I do some Simrad, which I like, some Furuno. But Garmin really has just taken it and acquired the different companies to refine a product that is second to none.
I mean, to some degree, Macklin, the name Garmin is starting to do what Kleenex did for tissue, right? I mean, I've even heard somebody say, what kind of Garmin are you running?
Mm-hmm.
And they don't mean which number. They're asking brand. I said, well, that's a brand. And they're, oh, yeah. I mean, it's such a big brand that almost that means sounder. That means GPS, you know?
Yeah.
And at least on my side, I want to hear from Mike, too. But, you know, what kept me away from some technology and drew me to others is just the ease of learning how to use something, you know?
Yes.
And it seemed to me the Garmin units, and maybe it's true for others, but Garmin units were easier for my brain to figure out that, oh, here's how I do this.
The boat I've got now is a Garmin.
Yeah.
It's got Garmin everything. And it's, you know, I'm thinking, golly, I'll never figure this thing out. But, you know, I'm getting ready to be 66 years old, so I'm not real savvy on all that stuff. But let me tell you what, Garmin is real easy to operate.
It is.
I mean, how much of that is, you know, part of what you do? Because I know we're going to get into the technology and why, you know, this one does this and how it processes the information. But there's got to be part of your business that is about the end user experience of I want to know how to make it do this and not have to go study a book to do it.
Yeah, and that's how I describe it to everybody. Mainly the two leaders right now for speed and technology and what they can offer you are Garmin and Simrad, in my opinion.
Okay.
Furuno kind of fell behind with the MFDs. They've got a great product. They got great radars, but the display, the hub.
Okay.
Is lacking a little bit. Garmin is an iPad. It's an Apple product.
good
Simrad
good
is an Android.
Okay.
If you use your boat every day, like, for instance, all of the captains down in Venice, they love Simrad. And it's a great product. I'm not taking anything away from that. But if you use that product every day where you're going to have the manual dialings and tunings that you get the experience of running a boat every day, it can be a better product for you.
Gotcha.
You can do a lot more back-end programming on my side when I'm setting up big boats with these displays. I want engine integration and fuel tankage and everything with the Simrad. You can do it with Garmin, but it's not as easy.
Right.
And Garmin has a home button and tile set up on the screen.
Yep.
Excuse me. And everything's preset. It has fantastic auto settings, which I know a bunch of commercial captains and charter captains are rolling their eyes at auto.
Well, then look at me. I'm not rolling my eyes because I like auto.
But they work really well. Can they probably dial in a bird radar better? Absolutely. But for the guy that's going to fish his boat on the weekend, that wants to hit auto and be able to see and get a good fishing experience and not have to worry about that when he's got kids on the boat snapper fishing, which that's all we do anymore is take our kids and my buddy's kids snapper fishing.
Singing my song.
I don't have to think about it. It works. It's great. And I accomplished the job.
There you go. We're going to come back and talk more about this. But I think about that. It's like, you know, somebody will say, I'm getting a Ferrari, right? Or something like that. I go, well, you know, you're speed limited to, you know, 65 or 70 miles an hour around here. You can't, but yeah, I got all that stuff, but you'll never use it. Well, yeah, but I still get, so I mean, I would rather have the vehicle that does what I can actually do. And I want to talk about this when we come back. This is a real treat. Having Macklin Smith from HMS Marine Electronics in, we're talking all kinds. We'll talk Garmin, we'll talk technology, where it has come from, where we are now. And then, of course, you know, I got to ask him where it's going next. When we come back, more of FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors, brought to you in part by Mountain Dew and Diet Mountain Dew.
Diet Mountain Dew.
Which has made Mike and I the men we are today.
Yeah.
Big thank you to Joey and the gang. Thank you, Joey Peterson, for making Mike look like he does today.
A man.
That's right. That's right. All right. Be right back. Hey, we're back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have you here on this Saturday. By the way, too, this nice weather is good for a lot of things. We're talking fishing, of course. Bow season getting ready to fire up.
Things are dialed in. Things are drying up a little bit too, where you can plant. We haven't even planted yet.
I tell you what, I'll try to post some pictures up on the face.
South and us,
and also my soil is like made up of, you know, the silica gel they put in the boxes so Garmin sends to Macklin.
Yeah,
that's my soil. You've been up there. Yep. Soil, yeah, it dries out fast. And you're running a clay based soil. I've got a beach sand based soil, so that's good. I went ahead and but people emailed me, did I throw and mow this year? Again, we'll talk about that more on an upcoming show, but in fact I did all my fields throw and mow this year.
How about that?
Right, tested it last year, the theory.
Yeah, and it did great.
Yeah, so this year we'll see how it does, but I did not put a disc in the ground one time.
And I may have to do that just really because
it's kind of idea here that using herbicides, and I do have a culture packer, but it's a way to I'm trying to build soil back at the same time as save a little work. I'm trying to build topsoil back, and I got poor soils, and it's a technique that I've been doing. I tested it last year. We'll see. I may end up with egg all over my face this year, but we are testing it. But we are talking marine electronics, and it's a real treat. Macklin Smith from HMS Marine Electronics in, and we are just, even during the breaks here, asking so many questions on marine electronics. So thanks for being here. Thanks for bringing this information to us. And also, before we go any further, somebody wants to find out more about you, more about what you got for sale. How do they find you, online or in person?
We have a Facebook page that I run, HMSMarineElectric.com, or HMS Marine Electric and HMS Marine Electronics for the sales website.
Okay.
Or my phone number, 251-591-3283.
And so, y'all listen to this. When you wonder about, you know, you want to do something new with your electronics, or you were getting your, you know, getting a brand new boat and putting electronics on it, listen to this man speak, and you'll get an idea of why you got to get a pro to help you through this. Because Mike and I found enough things during the breakout that we didn't know that we're kind of slack-jawed, aren't we?
Oh, yeah. Now, where's your shop at?
I'm just south of Fairhope.
South Fairhope.
I've got a little shop down there, and very mobile. I work in Orange Beach a lot. And I have a pretty big client base in Panama City that I go and take care of, and a few in Destin.
Were saying that some of those folks had brought their boats over here to get out of the way of the storm, huh?
Yeah, all my big boat guys from Panama City brought their boats over to the wharf and are sitting there. They're trying to get back today.
And get
back over there to tend to their houses.
You were telling a story during the break about that, and it got my attention. And you don't have to name the captains, but said a 61-foot boat, captain, big boat, had been running
They had an original Furuno Electronics from Viking. It was a 2001 61 Viking. And it was the old Furuno, which was, I mean, one of the biggest and baddest Furunos at the time, with a 2 kilowatt, which is medium medium high power. They go up to 3 or 5 kilowatt fish finder, and they like to do a lot of deep dropping, which is 700 feet or deeper for snowy grouper, yellow edge, golden tile fish. And we did a full refit this past fall, and new transducer, but due to time and limitations and doing a lot of glass work, instead of reglassing another 2 kilowatt transducer, we put a 1 kilowatt, which is a lot easier to install, but still has great performance.
But Chirp, I would say, from my uneducated eyes, I'd be, well, that's half as good as a 2kW.
It is, but it's the older analog technology 2kW compared to the new Chirp 1kW. And Chirp is...
Yeah, educate us on Chirp. We see a lot of people say, oh, with Chirp. What is Chirp?
Chirp, original fish finding transducers ping at a frequency of either 50 kilohertz or 200 kilohertz.
Okay.
Chirp, high chirp, for example, is 135 to 210 kilohertz.
Okay.
Low is 40 to 60 kilohertz. So instead of pinging at one frequency, you're sweeping that entire spectrum simultaneously. And what that does is, when tuna fishing is the best example.
Okay.
Whenever you're, if you've ever been to the rigs and seen a school of blackfin under the, it shows up as a giant red blob at 150, 200 feet. With Chirp, all the frequencies react differently. So instead of seeing a giant blob, you see the individual fish. You see the individual fish marks and the space in between them. You can actually see the yellowfin tuna come up around your chunk slick and your chunks falling down. And once you catch a fish or two and get an idea of what you're working with, you can even identify about how big they are.
Holy cow. I mean, would this be like going from an old TV, from a 1980s TV or something, to like HD?
Absolutely.
Is it that idea? Because HD is more defined, more...
It's such a stark contrast. I mean, it's totally different.
So you can go less power because it's more refined.
Yes.
So, okay.
They put so much more energy in the water because of the spectrum of frequencies that they're firing at.
So that's why Chirp, you know, we all see it and we talk about Chirp, but I never knew why it was so much better. So for a layman like me, it's an HD version of what we've been scanning before.
Absolutely. Well, it's kind of like a TV, too. That Furuno you're talking about, I think it's the exact one that I had on my Contender. And it's what? It's 2 foot long?
That's about right.
Two foot long, and it's probably a foot and a half wide.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, now all you have is like a flat screen TV screen.
Exactly.
You know, you don't have that big unit anymore like you used to. So it's so much easier to install these flat screens on your boats than it is these big, long units that, I mean, you had to support them in the back.
Right,
because it was so heavy that the front couldn't support it. So you had to have something in the back to help support it.
Especially when you run a boat like you do, Mike.
Oh, yeah.
But Macklin, you were saying that this person with the Viking put in this, you glassed in the 1KW, and he calls you up and says it's better than...
Yeah, absolutely. They had gone deep dropping in about 1,100 feet 2 weeks after we did the install, and he called and said, I just cannot even begin to tell you how much better it is, the image, what I'm looking at.
Yeah, we got to get an education, though, because, you know, regular people go, 2KW, that's a lot better than 1KW. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's
Well, it is, and they, even with the Chirp stuff.
But if you're not comparing apples to apples.
Yeah.
You know, you're not getting the full. So that's why
the Chirp, analog technology compared to the digital Chirp.
Right.
Everything. It's.
So how much better would a 2KW be than a 1?
In Chirp?
Yeah.
We were fishing the Biloxi Billfish Tournament on a 40 Invincibleide rig for a local dealer. And we were in 6,500, 7,000 feet and put it on auto low and it grabbed bottom. Just like that.
How about that?
So, I mean, it's the power going into a 2KW Chirp or even a 3. That's what we put in the big Vikings that have the pockets made for them. This one didn't. But it is absolutely unbelievable. And what you get is you get more energy down to the bottom where you can see these small targets and zoom in on them and not lose your image due to weak returns or pixelation.
Yeah.
It's just that much more energy into the water. And there are charts and charts I could show you that would bore everybody listening. But
this is why we have you, because you read that stuff. You know, you digest the information. And you have to, because like we started off talking about at the beginning of the show, you went back from what happened with Ray Marine in 2001 to where we are now. It's like every time I turn around, and this is me not paying attention like you, I'm like, holy cow, they've changed. It's like that much better.
It is, and we're getting to the point the fish finders and sounders have really – I'm not going to say they've peaked because they haven't. I mean,
I was wondering about that.
Everybody's exploring into the side scan, but the chirp really is – it's hit a spot right now where it's just really good.
Okay.
And so,
somebody
I'm
can
sure
feel
everybody's
good about
working
buying
on something else, but I haven't heard about it
yet. And I want to get into, you know, side scan and all that stuff and some of the bells and whistles. And I also want to get into the interface a bunch with you. But for the muscle of it, the chirp technology, somebody could buy something now and feel pretty good that that technology is going to hold them for a few years.
Yeah, unless somebody came out with a new processor with different refinements. Garmin's big GSD26, it's their professional chirp sonar module, has been around for 5 years now.
Okay.
And they have not changed.
Okay, that's a tell. Yeah, that is a tell. You're just joining us talking to Macklin Smith with HMS Marine Electronics and obviously talking about marine electronics. And you mentioned, too, we're talking about the transducer and doing glass work. So I'm going to ask you some basic, simple, we're going to move back into some smaller boats here and talk about transducers. Because there's, you were talking about getting some arguments started around the front porch.
Oh, yeah.
Through hull, external hull, first of all.
Through hull, always.
Always through hull.
More, you don't have anything impeding the signal whatsoever.
Okay.
The Airmar is...
Because people are funny about it, like, I don't know if I...
The discussions I've had with people about drilling a 4.5, 5-inch hole in the bottom of their boat.
Right.
It'll give you a headache.
Right, but you're saying, right, and I think we all, you know, I don't know if I could watch you do it. I'd have to go somewhere else and come back. I couldn't watch it. But the performance is worth it, you're saying.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Through hole.
Yes.
Not a question. Through hole better.
Through hole's better. On certain applications, you can't do it without thousands of dollars of extensive glasswork.
Sure.
Invincible Boats is a company I've started doing a lot of installs on. It's a stepped hull, so that adds a new problem because it introduces air. You have to put it in front of the front step so it's in clean water.
Right.
Not area work because it won't shoot through air. So we are doing in-hull transducers, either the big 2KW or 1KW, where the glass is, where they lay it up. They know one's going to be put there, so they do an extra careful job of laying up the fiberglass, make sure it's really clean, no air voids potential. Okay. But then you have the companies like Regulator, Blue Water Yacht Sales. They have – Regulator makes a pocket specifically designed for the B265 through-hole transducer, and it's perfect. It will pick up at any speed you run that boat, and it's right in the back, mounted in the keel. But for the Invincible –
Through-hole or
– It is a through-hole.
Okay.
It is a through-hole
for
on the regulators.
Even though it's just got a pocket to make the install
cleaner
and easier.
It's got a pocket built into the mold of the boat when they lay it up. So all I have to do is drill 1.25-inch hole for the stem of the transducer to come through and 5,200 in place.
Nice, nice. And once you 5,200, you better be serious because there it is. Okay, so and what about that? You're talking about running. It's, when you're running and you're running a transducer, you know, some people say, well, it'll pick up at any speed. Mm-hmm. I've had some that pick up at about half speed on my boat, you know, it just what's going on there? What's deciding whether I'm able to pick up when I'm running?
Installation.
Okay.
Absolutely installation. You can have a transom mount transducer, which is, you know, for an offshore boat, it's not the most ideal, but all bay boats.
Mm-hmm.
You can have, if it's installed right and you have a clean area to put it close to the center of the boat, you can have that pick up at 40 plus miles an hour.
Even with that stern mount, that transom mount.
Yeah, a little transom mount. It depends on the hull design, but
what's happening when we have a bad install? Okay, if you know, myself or somebody else is running a unit and you know, I'm good to 25, but beyond 25, I'm not getting a, you know,
the transducer could be too high or too low, or there could be a pickup or through hull mushroom in front of it.
Okay.
When you hit a certain speed, the aeration overtakes.
And you said that a couple of times. So the aeration coming off the prop, coming off the boat.
Coming off the hull of the boat.
Okay, that is what's keeping
the signal. Yes, air transducers cannot shoot through air. They have to shoot through a solid medium like water.
Okay.
To whenever you see the fish, you're actually seeing the fish's air bladder in most cases.
Say what?
Yeah.
See, That's what we see.
For the most part. The chirp, you can see more definition in the fish.
Well, that's cool. I never knew that.
Yeah. So when you see snapper on the on your fish finder, you're seeing their air bladder pretty much.
So when I'm sitting there with and running and I'm going, you see that? I said, those are trigger fish there, but those are snapper. I'm just deciding between air bladders.
For the most part, yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. I learned so much new stuff.
You're fooling your people you got on a boat and tell them, that's a King Mackerel just went through.
No, I don't know that, but I
look at that ling. Look at that big old ling just went through.
I don't think
I've got. That's a shark. Look at it.
Yeah, I don't think I've got that.
I've got some pictures I'll show you, though, of the chirp technology.
Okay.
I can find through my phone. It might take a minute, but you can put them up. But you can see I've got a picture of a blue marlin. And you can tell. It looks like a blue marlin. One of my customers sent it to me about 3 years ago.
Holy cow.
Another guy sent me one of a red snapper. And if you ever imagine what a 30-pound red snapper looked like sitting over a pyramid, you can see it in the picture.
Oh, wow. That's chirp.
But that's chirp.
That's chirp technology.
And that's all the frequencies reacting with more with the density of the fish than specifically the air bladder.
Yeah, it's the HD now. We're moving from
that. That's right.
Okay. And Mike, do you have any transducer questions?
No, I mean, I've got a step hole on my bay boat. And my boat, once I get over about 10 miles an hour, I think my transducer is shooting through the hole, too.
Well, let's make this a test case. Macklin, what should Mike do?
Which boat do you have again?
It's a 26-foot Pathfinder.
HPS?
Yeah. Step hole.
That is a very hard boat to put a transducer on.
That's why I'm coming to you.
There's a 10-inch diameter hole sleeve through the middle of the fuel tank that you have. I'm pretty tall and have long arms, and I can barely reach it.
Yeah.
But you have to it probably is, if you have an in-hole, they can install a through-hole little small tilted element at the factory, but if you have an in-hole, I would imagine it either is not glued in at the right angle or could be low in fluid if it's an in-hole.
Yeah.
All right, let's do this.
And I'm not sure. I'm going to have to bring it to you.
We'll run the break. We'll come back more. You think Macklin knows his stuff? He figures out the boat and knows where the hole is in it for mounting it. This is awesome. Our guest, Macklin Smith from HMS Marine Electronics. And remember, we'll put a link up on our Facebook page, too, where you can go check out what he's got on his Facebook page and the website. Coming right back. All right, we're back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have y'all here on this Saturday morning. And great to talk to Macklin Smith with HMS Marine Electronics. Like I said, it's like every news break. We've got a whole new series of questions for Mike and I do, as we're learning a lot here about kind of the technology in general. Also, some of those things that y'all have always wanted to ask. Hopefully, I'm asking some of them. Let's talk about this, too. We talked about transducers and all that part. So let's get up to the, what do you call the main unit? What's the terminology in the business?
Officially, multifunction display.
Okay, what he said. So that thing, the multifunction display. Speaking of displays, those have gotten bigger and bigger. I mean, you're talking about how the technology on the chirp side has gotten more improved. Man, we're looking at bigger and bigger screens these days, aren't we?
24-inch is what Garmin offers right now in a standalone MFD. Multifunction display,
right?
And you can get black box processors, which are the computer that you hook up a screen to, is about as big as you want, really. There are a lot of other specialty manufacturers that make the screens that integrate.
Well, as my eyes get older and start failing, the bigger the screen, I'm kind of liking that.
Bigger's better always. It don't matter what it is.
But I mean, it's easier to find stuff and look at and get in there and push the right place I want to on the screen.
Sean, if you want a $12,500 Garmin 24-inch display, I will get you one.
There we go. Hey, I might
that
be
is
there.
Just for the display, too. That does not include the sounder module, radar, anything. It will run them, but that's all you get is a pretty screen.
It's got to be really pretty.
But I imagine, beautiful.
But I do like, I mean, the fact that we have, the size of the screen, I guess the standard size of the screen has seemingly gotten bigger over the last 10 years. With the basic pricing, those are
12-inch actually on most of these modern bigger center consoles is really small. I've got, I just finished a 32 Yellowfin twin 16-inch.
Okay.
Working on 33 Invincible twin 16-inch right now. And 12s just honestly look tiny in the dash space that they're allowing for these.
Can you imagine? I mean, think about, go back 10 years ago and think that you'd be saying that.
Oh, absolutely. 16 would be absurd.
But on a 23, 25, 27-foot boat, I mean, that works good on those boats. You know, you're smaller bay boats, mm-hmm. like me yeah. and you have, Sean, yeah. and, you know, works great.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Yeah, I mean, because exactly, there's different screen sizes that look a certain way on a center console versus being in the, you know, being in the helm of a 61-foot Viking, yeah, right?
If I'm going offshore, going, yeah. you know, in 150, 200, 500, 800-foot water or something, you know, bigger the screen, the better, and it depends on your console, what you can
of
put
course.
On them, you
oh,
know?
Yeah.
Yeah, do you want one screen, or do you want two screens, or do you want three screens?
What
I mean,
do
you
I
have
want?
A radar on one?
What are you going to do with the boat?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, that'll be fun. Let's do this. Let's talk about we're going to have a standard center console.
Okay.
Not even pick a make. Center console, you know, a light offshore boat, bay boat, kind of 23 to 27 feet. And I'm coming to you, and I said, either I'm retrofit and I'm tearing everything out, or I've got nothing, brand new boat. We're going to start off with it. What do I put in? You said, what am I going to do with it?
What are you going to do with the boat?
Okay, I'll tell you what I do. I mean, let's just use me as an example. We snapper fish probably 25 miles and in, and we speckled trout fish, and you know, and pull kids on a tube. But you know, so that, I mean, we're trout fishing in the bay. Not a lot of shallow water out of that boat. You know, mostly yeah. brig fishing, that kind of stuff, and then light offshore fishing.
Okay. Standard, everybody's going to want to put at least, you know, the first screen, what as big as they can fit,
okay.
or whatever's within their budget. A 12-inch screen's pretty standard if you're running, or a 10-inch screen if you're running GPS and a fish finder.
Okay.
When you throw radar in the mix and mm-hmm. you're trying to do a three-way split screen, it gets a little crowded on a 12-inch screen, which on my boat a few years ago that we had, 12-inch screen, Raymarine with all that, that's what you had.
Right.
Nobody did 20 screens.
You didn't know it was crowded because there was no other option.
Oh, yeah. I was living high on the hog.
Yeah.
But nowadays, really, it's what people can fit. I've got 25-foot bay boats with two 12-inch screens on them.
Wow.
I would say a 10 to 12-inch screen.
Yeah, let's keep
the Garmin 7612. It's got built-in sonar.
Okay, so I'm going to say I want one screen.
Yeah.
So you're 7612.
Let's go with the 7612. That is about the most common screen I install. It's got the built-in sonar circuit, so
okay.
you can run a down transducer and a side scan if you want to.
Uh-huh.
And so I would say if you're going to fish in 150 feet or less, mm-hmm. you can save a little money. Start with a through-hole transducer, about $300.
Okay.
If you're just going to snapper fish and trout fish, that's all you'll ever need.
Yeah.
If you tell me, hey, I like to grouper and scamp fish over the yellow gravel, I'm going to do that two or three times a year. You need okay. to spend the money on the better 1KW transducer, because once you get up to about 200 feet, the first one I'm talking about is like the baseline.
Okay.
You're going to start washing out your image. You're going to be frustrated looking for fish.
Okay.
You need something with the power to get down deep. Now, that transducer will work to 1,100 feet easy, but in the 200 to 400 foot grouper scamp range,
right,
you are going to have some impressive images. You're not going to be guessing at what you're looking at.
Okay,
you're going to know what you're dropping on.
Okay, so and that transducer, another through hole mount, but a different.
Yeah,
transducer.
It's a through hole.
Okay, so I'm doing that, and let's talk about. You mentioned two things. You're talking about side scan, and
yes.
this is for bottom fishing. This is the cat's meow. I mean, this is, you know, when it first started coming out, I'm like, how are you finding all this? Oh, running side scan. Now it's getting to be that even trout fishermen are looking for side scan.
And the triple tail fishermen.
Yes.
I've used it triple tail fishing a few times. It's impressive. You can pull up to a can and see if there's one hanging on the chain or on the post down 15, 20 feet deep, and you can see them.
Ooh, man. Yeah,
about that.
Yeah, no. Now my brain's clicking. Okay.
The trout fishing, I mean,
you
yeah,
know,
you can see the
$5,000 fit on my boat, that ain't bad.
Yeah. because that unit you described, the 7612, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. I can have that side scan on that one.
Yes. Yes, you can have a standard down 1KW transducer.
Right.
If you want single frequency and a side scan transducer that will... They say they'll shoot out a couple hundred feet, but really in the effective
range. Yeah, what's real world?
Well, I mean, if you're trout fishing or triple tail fishing, all you really need to see is 50 feet each way so
right.
you can make a pass. I have customers that use them to find new wrecks while they're out snapper fishing,
right.
idling around.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work at speed very well. So you've got to be going pretty slow because it's a really big transmount transducer that washes out with the aeration
on
the back of the boat pretty easily.
So that's two different transducers.
Yes, it's two different transducers.
That one hangs off the back of the boat.
You can get a through hole, but for practical purposes, on a smallish under 30-foot boat, really under 35-foot boat, you want a transmount because it'll work better, and you're not going to have that added drag, big protrusion under the boat.
Okay, yeah. So this we're setting this boat up. So we've got a through hole for our main transducer. Then we have the side scan, you're mounting on the back.
Yes.
You got that. And you mentioned this. I don't think I'm giving away any secret. Nobody else has done. But you talked about most of the time you're finding wrecks using a side scan, you're going slow. I mean, Mike will get mad at an area he and I both fish, but bridge rubble is not all marked. The bridge rubble has been moved all around, different storms, different things. So you can be on one mark, and in the process of drifting off or making a loop or something like that, there's something else. And there's something, So, I mean, it does come in handy. And the difference between 200 yards, you can have a place that gets hit, 15 times a day and a place that hadn't been hit in 2 weeks.
Exactly.
I mean, that's – and so you would you mount that. They integrate in that. You talk about the screen, that 12-inch screen. Would I be able to hit and run my view down and my side scan at the same time?
Absolutely. You can run different splits, different versions, overlay them.
Okay.
On that one, you can run four different.
Yeah,
you can run
and Garmin actually has something called I'm drawing a blank. Sorry. Anyway, but you can use your transducer and record and overlay new bottom on your charts.
Oh, wow.
And I'll remember the name in a second. I am absolutely drawing a blank.
We'll get it here and we get it during the break if we need to. But that means something because each time you go out, you got information from the last time.
Yeah. And especially with natural bottom where every time you make a pass, whatever the width of the cone of that transducer is for that depth, it's going to map a new – you might not have really – many contour lines on the map where you're fishing,
right?
Yellow gravel area, et cetera. But you can see the pock marks and the holes and the little rubble piles, and it will superimpose it on your chart.
So it's making the chart better.
It is modifying the chart in real time.
Wow.
How about that? That's awesome.
Overlaying
is just awesome. I mean, I got a radar on my bay boat too, and you overlay the serious weather on your radar so you can see exactly where that weather is, how big the weather is. Man, it's just awesome, especially if you're going offshore in a small bay boat. Having serious weather is the thing to have.
I've got it on my boat. I don't run my boat before daylight or after dark, really. So I've got the serious weather. It is worth every penny.
Yes.
Okay.
It is amazing how you can go around storms, if you need to pick it up, run in Mobile Bay. There's always one sitting there in the afternoon, and you can turn them loose and get around a storm because you can see.
Well, one reason I bought mine is because I've got a bay boat. It's 26-foot. And if I go out 25, 30 miles, which is easy to do, I want to be able to look back on shore and see if there's something really building big.
Should I hurry up and get back in, or should I stay out?
Yeah,
or?
If it's something big and it's north of Dauphin Island and looks like it's coming south, I'm coming in just as fast as I can.
That's right.
Yeah.
So it is a great safety feature.
It is a very good safety feature.
So let's talk about, because I want to get so many things I got to ask, but let's talk about installing that. Somebody who's listening to us, we got this 23 to 27 foot boat. We put the other things on. We want to go and have the capability to do that. What do we need to add on?
For Garmin, it's a GXM53 satellite weather module. You can also add radio for that too.
Okay. And so that's, is that mounted? Where is that mounted?
You've got a separate antenna from your GPS antenna and then a little module.
Okay.
A little round
that sits
module
inside under the dash, and it plugs into one of the network ports on the back of the unit.
Okay, so I mean, this is not like we're cutting a bunch of extra glass here.
No, I mean on your average boat, 2 hour install.
Okay,
put it on G top too.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah.
That brings us up. Now we've got the overlay. We're side scanning. We're down scanning. We are using Chirp technology.
Of course.
So we're getting this HD. For lack of a better term, vision what's going
4K.
On. 4K. Yeah, 4K.
Yes, 4K is about right.
I tell you what, let's do that. We're going to run the break, and then when we come back, I want to talk about the other part of this, too, is upgrading these units and the cards and all that kind of information, because there's maps, and then there's there's even better maps. And you know, you talked about overlaying those images and getting more detailed. Well, there's better and better mapping out there all the time, and we'll talk about that as well. Coming right back, more with Macklin Smith from HMS Marine Electronics. Get your questions answered when you go to his Facebook page, leave him a question, or just see him in person. Heck, he gave you his phone number. You can call him and ask him questions there as well. Coming right back. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, and special guest Macklin Smith from HMS Marine Electronics. So many questions, even questions I didn't know I had before we started this discussion, but I knew I'm interested in the cards on this. Mike, you know, yeah. You and I were talking about this.
Yeah, I got a G2 mapping card. And of course, tell us about the G2 mapping.
Yeah, what is that?
The G2 Vision cards are Garmin's upgraded card. They're location specific, so you would get, say, the Gulf of Mexico, Bahamas, East Coast Florida, West Coast Florida, etc. What they do is, because of all the data required to put in for specifics, and I'll step back and say Garmin comes with the full U.S. and Bahamas built in to pretty much every unit.
Standard.
Okay. And they're very good. This takes the bottom contours and tightens them up a little bit.
Okay.
So if you're out around the shelf, the nipple elbow steps, they might have better contour lines than what you're looking at.
It shows up rocks and stuff too, doesn't it?
Not really. It's more basic contours and maybe a little finer imagery inshore.
Sharper, more
updated contours, say, inside the coastline.
Okay.
Where it would be a little more critical because we're in shallow water, but it'll also superimpose a Google Earth type image on the landmass. You can see pictures of marinas. So if you're coming in from somewhere you've never been here before, you're coming into Orange Beach Pass.
Mm-hmm.
There's a camera icon right sitting out there, and you can see an image of what the jetties look like, the buoys coming into that pass. So you can say, okay, well, that's what I'm supposed to be looking for.
Yeah.
It's a lot of data, though, so that's why they have it in smaller areas packed in there.
Okay. So, and these chips would be, somebody would come in, you're going to set them up, if they wanted that, they just say, hey, I need the chip for this. You could recommend the chip.
Yes.
We don't have to say, I need a 1, 2, 3, 4, XYZ.
You tell me where you're going to operate the boat, I'm going to be in the Gulf. Okay, we'll buy the one for Tampa to New Orleans.
Okay.
And then they say, well, I'm going to the Bahamas next spring. All right, well, we'll get you one for the Bahamas too, and it'll cover everything.
And that's for you. I mean, you're talking about needing that detail somewhere you have not been. Having that extra information is pretty important.
Yes.
Let's talk about this. So we're fall now, a winter ahead. Somebody's looking to make that upgrade. Either they're getting a new boat and they're going to rig it out from fresh, or they're ready to step up to the stuff you've been talking about.
Yeah.
Is it good time to – do they bring the boat to you now? How do they do this?
No, typically what we'll do is work out a package, figure out what you're going to do with the boat, what you need, and agree on a package.
Okay.
Spell it out. I'll do an estimate as detailed as possible. And then we will – once it's agreed, we'll order the electronics, and they'll send a deposit, obviously. And I will give you a date of where you fall in the calendar.
Okay.
We're not terribly far out right now, just a couple of weeks.
Okay.
But
we need to have our boat to you at a certain time.
I will call and let you know shortly, maybe a week out, 2 weeks out, and say, hey, we're getting pretty close.
Okay.
Bring me the boat next Monday.
Okay.
And I don't have a ton of room to keep a bunch of boats.
So you're usually just trying to bring us in when it's time, and then you're getting us out.
I try to get people in when it's their turn, instead of having somebody sitting there with their boat just hanging out and possibly getting frustrated and say, and usually even if you have a big job, got two guys with me now, we can knock out a big, good sized boat, big job in a week. So usually if you bring it to me on Monday, you're ready to go by Friday. We're sea trialing Friday afternoon.
Love it. All right. So this is something I think a lot of us want to do over the winter. So remind folks how to get in touch with you. They're riding down the road right now, so we're going to put some links up on our social media. But remind them, just what do they search? Where do they go?
HMS Marine Electric on Facebook, Phone number is 251-591-3283 or hmsmithjr@bellsouth.net.
All right, very good. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having
me.
It's a pleasure.
And now I have a whole new legal pad full of more questions for next time Macklin comes back in. Hey, we got to get out of here. Prep Sports Report is on the way next.